Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. As the Champions League returns, Terry and I revisit the age-old debate. What's the point of American football? There are more stoppages than when Antonio Mateo Lajos referees a La Liga match. Some of the players are fatter than Jan Molby, and yes, I did have to go back to the 80s to think of a fat footballer. If proper football worked like that, David Beckham would still be going. He could come on and fire free kicks at Fernando Llorente and Nikola Zikic. And wasn't Rihanna great? I don't know. Was she? She was all right, wasn't she? But like Nacho or Aritz Elizondo? Honestly, people didn't get that excited for Valladolid nil, Osasuna nil, and at least they didn't keep stopping for an ad break every 20 seconds. As for the other debate, Real Madrid are the world champions, so La Liga must be the best in the world. All we have to do is ignore all the inconvenient evidence to the contrary, and Thursday night's better for watching football anyway. Super solid Barca are 11 points clear, but just when you thought the days of crazy decisions and financial turmoil were over, they've agreed a new contract for Sergio Roberto. Honestly, I've seen better decision-making from Stefan Savage. In 2023, he's been sent off three times and completed two matches. We'll have a look at all of the La Liga games this weekend. And I'm sorry to be a splitter, but that does include Valencia versus Athletic. They were doing better than when before the fans came into the stadium. We'll just check, have they sacked the unsackable Voro yet? You know, anything but admitting the rich guy keeps getting it wrong. Yes, there we are. So, Terry, we're slightly late. We'd like to tell you it's because we wanted Espanyol versus Real Sociedad, actually, which was a great game, so we will get to discuss a good game. It's also because not just Terry was up late watching the Super Bowl. The first time in my life I stayed up and watched the whole Super Bowl, and it was all right. what it's like, I've got friends who don't really like football. And I said the World Cup final, and they were sort of, oh, right, okay, yeah, I saw that. I'm thinking, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
you know, and it was really great. And then, well, but because I didn't really care who won. And so, and when it sort of finished, my son said, oh, he'll run the clock down now. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's the end, is it? Right. Super Bowl?
It was brilliant until the end. And then, running the clock down and the, seeing a player who has the chance of scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl, suddenly realised it was more important not to score, not to run it in, and then slam himself into the ground, inches short of the line, to run the clock down. So they could just get a field goal and then leave 8 seconds left on the clock for Philadelphia Eagles to make a run at trying to get up the other end. Suddenly it was a bit anti-climatic, to be honest, but the rest of the game was brilliant. Mm. Two quarterbacks were fantastic. I love the NFL. I've enjoyed staying up watching it. Yes. I do watch a few games during the year, but I probably don't go right to the very end. I did on a couple of the playoff matches, and then I always do for the Super Bowl. So I'm wrecked on the Monday. It's a bit of a turning point in the year for me because it's the heaviest I am all year because I sit there
all that American sport
scoring food on latest Sunday night at the Super Bowl, and every Monday morning I wake up and I think, right, I'm going on a diet. And it's because I've had the chicken wings, popcorn, I've gone the full throttle and just grazed for about 8 hours eating. I won't have a dinner, it's just I will have just graze all the way through the afternoon and then through the evening and sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning with a can of Coke and a bucket of popcorn and wake up in the morning and think, oh, that's it. Now get me ready for the beach. No, it was just, I feel really unhealthy. So it's almost a turning point in the year. And I know that I'm at my heaviest of the year, the day after the day or two after the Super Bowl. So back to the gym now. But yeah, no, see, it was good.
I'm getting there with it. The whole making ground notion. Because for years and years, I had no idea what they were doing. Honestly, I was thinking, I have no idea what these people are doing and why they keep stopping. But I get it. You know, you make ground and you've got so many goes and the other team, you've got your defensive team and all of that business. And, you know, it's all right. It's all right, but it's not as good as cricket, for example, which is, I concede is another stop-start sport where, I mean, I love cricket. People around the world think, what on earth are you watching there? Why does it go on so long? But there are times at which, you know, like Jack Leach blocking out for, he scored one off 75 balls. Or something. Yeah. Brilliant. And it was brilliant drama, but there must be people thinking, what are you watching? A guy with glasses not scoring any runs. This is like, what sport is this? Anyway, no one's here for this chat, are they? They are here for... Should we do the World Club Cup? I know it's not strictly La Liga, but...
Yeah.
If you're a Patreon, by the way, you do. I was about to say no one pays us, but the Patreons do pay us. They pay us an amount of money. So thank you to the Patreons. Patreon.com/LTEL. You can have a say on what we talk about. No one else can. So if we want to talk about American football and cricket and Al Hilal, then we will. I mean, amazing game. And Real Madrid are the champions, and you know, great entertainment.
Yeah, and they rightly so that they place great importance on it. I think the negativity of the competition comes from the quality of the opponents. Mm. You know, I think if it had been Flamengo in the final, then we'd have looked at the final and maybe given Real Madrid more credit. But Flamengo got knocked out. So it's Real Madrid. It's almost a little bit of a concern, I have to be said, the fact they conceded so many goals. But it almost looked like it was a chance for them to really open up, express themselves, and trust that their attacking quality would be better than their opponents, and that's exactly what happened. So, no, congratulations to Real Madrid. It's another honour on their illustrious list, and something they love having the title of for a year, that they are, you know, World Club champions, and rightly so. I mean, their achievements in winning this competition stem from the fact they did so well in the Champions League, and some people think it's the best ever victory in the Champions League. When you look at the story of how they got there, how they got through, it's a fantastic achievement. Vinicius had a particularly spectacular tournament. He's coming into great form. Benzema was back as well. So there was always a little bit of a concern that he wasn't going to be involved in this squad and maybe miss further games down the line in La Liga where they do need him back firing on all cylinders. So it was a spectacular success for Real Madrid and Ancelotti.
Mm, yeah. They're going to have to do it again, though, if La Liga is to protect those UEFA coefficient points. Right, Barcelona. Shall we go there? They beat Villarreal by a goal to nil. Villarreal missed, I mean, Morales missed a glorious chance. What struck me by that is how fast he is still, though.
Yes.
You know, he sprinted away and then he just made a bad decision in the end. So Barca won it. And I mean, how many 1-0s are we on to now? This is, they're
seven.
On target. Yeah, yes, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
On target to be the best La Liga defence ever. It's touch and go with a Depor team from about 20 odd years ago. Araujo was remarkably solid. Everything about Barca is solid.
Yeah. And my only complaint would be that they're lacking. They're not firing on all cylinders up front. Hmm. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think the way they're playing now is slightly different. It's Gavi and Pedri that are getting in there, and they're fulfilling that role perfectly well. Lewandowski has been off the pace a little bit. Since his return after the suspension, he's not as sharp, a little bit indecisive as well. But still in the game, he's capable. He's showing moments of brilliance. But his finishing isn't as general level yet. And you look at Rafinha, he's the replica of Dembele. The pair of them are exactly the same, where they get into so many good positions. I think Dembele is a notch above Rafinha at the moment. So he's a miss, but Rafinha is very, very similar player and can be incredibly frustrating, like Dembele, when they get himself into good positions and he makes the wrong choices, or he's the easy thing that it should be a straightforward pass or a cross, and he makes mistakes, and he's got the ability to beat two or three players but not finish it with the end product. That's the only thing I would say about Barcelona at the moment. So that's the, one of the reasons why they're relying heavily on the defence. And the defence have really got the bit between the teeth now, haven't they? They're celebrating clearances. They're celebrating the clean sheet at the end of it as a back four and Ter Stegen. You can see them hugging and each other and stuff. So the importance of keeping the clean sheet to get the 3 points is one thing. But even if they were 3-0 up, I think that we would see Araujo defending exactly the same. And it's funny how this manifests itself in the fact that it's Barcelona. It is quite extraordinary that we're talking about the importance of clean sheets. But it's funny how it manifests itself in terms of individuals and then a collective defence are taking huge pride on keeping the goals out because of this record now. So it's something for them to hang on to, something for them to build. And they, you know, as I said, I think if they'd been 3-0 up, we'd have seen Christensen and Araujo and Koundé and Balde and Ter Stegen really sort of throwing themselves into every challenge and every save to keep that clean sheet, even if there are three goals to the good. They're taking huge pride, rightly so, on this record. It's evolved into, we started off by saying, well, we don't know how they're doing it. They relied heavily on Ter Stegen. Not so much in this game. Probably, as you say, Morales had a couple of chances that he probably should have done better with. But the rest of it was last-ditch clearances and blocks. They're blocking shots, they're blocking crosses, they're tracking runners. The midfield players are tracking back as well. So it's not just the back four. Frankie de Jong, I thought, in midfield was awesome again as well. Araujo was the standout player. I mean, he punched the air three times in delight because he made last-ditch clearances and blocks and got slaps on the back into Stegen and co. So it was a good, solid performance from Barcelona. Lots of promise. I think it's clear they're going in the right way. It's not the Barcelona that we've become accustomed to seeing for the last 15 years, but it's a different Barcelona that's full of energy, full of running. The stats came up at halftime. They were talking about the incredible stats of Pedri and Gavi about the amount of ground that they covered in a half of football. I don't know what the stats were at the end, but they were on target for 13K. Pedri with a wonderful goal. And that's the part that Lewandowski played. His part in that goal was really important and fantastic. And, you know, they need more than a one goal lead to hang on to. But they're not going to need as many goals as they've needed in the past because they're really concentrating on defending. And it's just that it's quite obvious now that they're quicker, younger, more enthusiasm for defending as well. The fullbacks are not focused purely on being Dani Alves and the old Jordi Alba, where they're playing in the attacking half of the pitch and then ball gets turned over and suddenly, you know, just a couple of defenders back against three or four players on the counter-attack. That's not happening. So the focus is on being solid and being hard to score against. And there's nothing Xavi can do to stop that now. He's not going to be able to stop the players playing in that defence. He's not going to be able to say to them, look, don't worry about that. I want you to go forward. I want you to come out the back. I want you to play short passes into, you know, midfield players. It's a lot less risk being played by Barcelona, but still incredibly effective. So it's different. I'm finding them really interesting to watch this season.
There's a case. I mean, PSG versus Bayern Munich, you say, is the obvious game of the week. The alternative, though, is Barcelona Manchester United, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is obviously a Europa League tie. And when it came out, it looked like a Europa League tie because neither tie were playing particularly convincingly. But now, wow, what a game it looks now. United have found some form. Yeah. Rashford is in incredible form. So how do you see that one?
Really, really close. And I think people going into the game, who haven't been watching much of Barcelona, have been focusing on Man United, will probably be expecting a goal fest and lots of attacking play. But I think Barcelona would be happy with a 1-0 home win, for instance, in the game on Thursday. I think they'd be happy if they could get another clean sheet. And there's every chance of that. That would be a fantastic result for Barcelona. I genuinely think this could go either way. When you look at the early season results, particularly for Manchester United, the improvement there, I think it's been a big improvement for Manchester United. Barcelona's been a work in progress as the season has gone on. From day one, they've been pretty solid. But in terms of their issues, Barcelona came in the European competition itself, didn't it? There was one Barcelona in La Liga and another Barcelona in Europe. Will that change? Have they improved that much where they're now going to be going to see a different Barcelona in the games against Manchester United. This game probably has the look of a final, doesn't it? The Europa League. If it's the Europa League, this
could be a Champions League final. The,
a honestly, classic final, could be a champ. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see. I think both teams will be focusing on these two matches. But I really do feel Barcelona's priority is the league. And I think because they put themselves in this position where it's 11 points clear, but Real Madrid have a game in hand, which will be played on Wednesday against, on Thursday, yeah, Wednesday against Elche. If Real Madrid win, as we expect, it's still going to be eight. And Barcelona, I think that's the one that they're eyeing. But they can't, Man United.
Yeah, there's no need to put a weak team out for this game or anything, is there? No. The league. It's not done, but they're in a position where they need to take this match seriously.
And they've got Cadiz on Sunday at home, plenty of time to between the two games. So that's the one game where you might rotate before they have the return match against Manchester United. So it's all set up, which should be two incredibly.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Good games. Ironically, I'm in Barcelona on Thursday. I travel Thursday morning. I'm doing a show Thursday evening. I'm 10 minutes away from the camp now, and I'll be on live on Viva La Liga at the same time as the game's kicking off. And I did toy with the idea of I can get there for the second half if I can get a ticket, but it's probably going to be futile. So
I've got to say that is some spectacular scheduling. Let's put a live chat program against Barcelona versus Manchester United. Yeah,
and it's interesting. I've been invited. It's my debut on a Thursday. It's to do with exports from the UK, British and Irish players that have played in La Liga, the best of. So I'll be looking at some of those players. And I must admit, I haven't done some prep on it. The list isn't very long. When you look at some of the other lists, the list of players from each country that have played in Spain, I expected a lot more from Britain and Ireland. And it's not.
We always, with respect, struggle to get decent pundits.
Lots of players that just went for a year. So ultimately, you're looking at the best of the best, and they are the obvious ones. You know, ones that stuck around for a while, the ones that won trophies. And in my opinion, I think Gareth Bale, despite all the stick he's got in the later years at Real Madrid, he's clearly the most successful. So,
and then Lineker second, is it?
Then McManaman. You can make a case for Steve McManaman, particularly successful time. There's a few, but it was just interesting. So I'll be talking about that.
Yeah,
when and then 10 minutes down the road, Man United. Barcelona playing against one of my former teams, and I probably could have got a ticket as well, and probably even missed the first half on television.
Yes, tantalising. Right, okay, let's have a look at the rest. So actually, as we're recording this on Tuesday, meant the Monday night game was good, and it didn't involve Rayo Vallecano, just for a change. It's nice to have a change every now and again, isn't it? So Real Sociedad were looking, I don't know if supreme, in that they kept hitting Espanyol very effectively on breaks, didn't they? They were suckering them in, hitting them on the break, and looking very good value for it. Takekubo, Sorloth. And they were looking really solid. But Espanyol came back quite strongly into it, I thought. And it was quite an exciting game in the end.
Yeah, and it was interesting as well. I mean, Real Sociedad went 3-0 up, Sorloth came off. Aguasil was making changes, resting players for games that are coming up, and understandably. And they took their foot off the gas and nearly paid for it. And then suddenly, what I saw from Espanyol was this fighting spirit, never say die attitude, that has always been there this season, but they really let rip. They were aggressive. It was tenacious. Cabrera got sent off again. We got Cabrera, Savage, and Luis Felipe in Betis. Yeah. Accumulating all these red cards. I've never known anything like it. They're prolific, the three of them. I thought he was unlucky in this case. He goes up for a header with Lundin Wen. That's not an elbow thrown in the player's face. I'm disappointed in Lundin Wen's action. It was a more of the tricep, the bulk of the arm caught him on the side of the face, but Lundin Wen screamed, went down holding his face, and the ref balls it. Second yellow for Cabrera. He was doing nothing more than being a big centre-half playing up front as they went direct. And that directness and aggressive nature of their game, it served them well. It suited them. And Sergi Dada with the first goal, Olivan with the second. And they genuinely had a chance of pulling off an unlikely and remarkable comeback. So that might be the way forward for Diego Martinez, a team that were missing injured players, and Hossulu in particular. The other players are missing. They're a small squad. They're struggling, but they showed great spirit to give themselves, because they were dead and buried. I mean, 3-0 down at home on a Monday night against a team that were making light work of it. Every time they went forward, they looked like they were going to score. Kubo was a goal, was a brilliant strike. Solof was a well-worked goal. And it looks as if it was going to be a horrible night. And it's not a pleasant night for Diego Martinez, but 3-0 down, half an hour to go, when your team is struggling this season, missing important players, it could have been a real wretched night. So for them to fight back in the way, I think, gives them a little bit of hope going forward for the next games, which their next game is away from home on Sunday at Elche. So they're going to need that fighting spirit. The play, you got to fight for your life when you're down in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it's half the division. There's always going to be games. You've got Valencia, Getafe, Valencia this Monday night as well. So there's going to be lots of games coming up where the teams are playing each other. And we talk about technical abilities and the way that you want to play, but I'm afraid half of these teams are going to be better suited because they haven't got the quality in fighting their way out of relegation trouble. That means we're going to see lots of spirited games. We're going to see a bit more aggression than we normally see in the Liga probably, and even more sendings off the same players probably. It turned out a really good, exciting game. Yeah. And the crowd got behind it as well. You know, when Espanyol started being more aggressive, getting the ball forward quicker and showing some fight and determination, the crowd got behind it and that lifted the players. Before you knew it, Barça were suffering at the end, hanging on for dear life when they had a 3-0 lead with half an hour to go. So, good win for Real Sociedad. And we saw all their attributes, but a tenacious fight back from Espanyol, which hopefully might give them a little boost going forward.
Valencia. Let's bring the mood down, shall we? So obviously, half. How long was the protest? But is it 19 minutes?
19 minutes, yeah.
Which is the anniversary when the club was created. Therefore, 1919. I'm guessing, and yeah. I should have researched this, but I guess so. Yeah. But so they were doing all right at that point until the fans came in, and then they lost another home game. In the relegation zone, I think it's 5 straight defeats in all competitions now. Sometimes it's like slipping across the ice, isn't it? And it's very hard to get a grip. And Voro hasn't produced any magic coming in as a caretaker. They're in big trouble.
Oh, massive. 1 point in the last 7 games.
Yeah.
And their run of form goes further back than that, because at the start of the season, we were saying how refreshing it was to see a young Valencia team playing decent football, look like they're going to have a decent season. All of a sudden, the wheels have completely fallen off. And the young players that they have are suffering. They're lacking confidence. And it's a massive club. And the pressure of playing for that club has suddenly dawned on some of those younger players that this isn't just part of the progression of making it as a professional footballer, playing in the first team. You should be having the time of your life. It's a man's job. And you're looking at Valencia and thinking, I'm not sure they're going to be up to the task. I mean, 1.7 games, with a tough run of games coming up where I don't think it's going to improve anytime soon. I mean, they play Getafe this weekend away from home. That's going to be a battle. Yeah. That is going to be a battle. And then they've got Real Sociedad at home, Barcelona away, Osasuna at home, Atletico away, and Rayo at home. We could be looking at this run continuing, hopefully not from Valencia's perspective, and they get something to give themselves a boost, but fighting their way out of trouble. As I said, I talked about Espanyol. I'm not sure Valencia have got that fight, that type of players in the squad. Cavani went off injured very early on, and that's going to be a massive blow because he's one of those that has the experience to lead the others. If he's missing, then they're really in trouble. So 3 straight defeats for Voro. Can they keep him as permanent manager to the end of the season? They're now confusing the issue by saying they are looking at an interim possibility of an interim manager. Well, that's an interim manager. I'm not sure who's going to take it in those circumstances. It's going to be someone probably not proven, someone that thinks this is an opportunity for me to show how good I am, and I might be lucky, pull it off and get a job, a significant, prestigious job like Valencia, which I might not have got anyway. So that's going to be a gamble. And then you're looking at a degree of desperation if you're chopping and changing from then on. Would you do if that one comes in and doesn't win in his first three or four matches? Do you make another change? And it's probably they're better off staying with Voro, come what may now, I think.
Although come what may is hard, isn't it? Because loses two games, loses three more games. Can you still stick with him? It's hard, isn't it? Because we all want stability, don't we? We all crave it, which is why when you look back, I mean, obviously the obvious problem is that the ownership don't care.
I think that's the reason I'm saying stick with what they've got, because there'll be so many managers turned off by the fact that despite it being a Valencia and it's a prestigious job, they won't want to work with this current group in this current situation in terms of results and confidence and stuff like that. No transfer window, and with owners that might fire you after three or four days. There'll be managers with decent reputations who might turn away from this. And think I can't get involved in this. You've got to look at the squad and think, do I have a chance? Which is difficult with the young squad, inexperienced squad. And B, do you look at it and think that they've got no confidence? So let's go, how am I going to lift them quickly? And then you've got the issue with how the club is run. So, and then the supporters as well. The supporters, it's important that I know it's difficult for them to get behind the team. They're trying their best. You said they came in on 19th minute, they'd scored in the 17th, and then they lose to eventually lose the game. So they need to all be together and put aside their feelings for the ownership of the club and hope and pray that Valencia are still in La Liga next season. Because I really do think it's touch and go now. Because it's as you said, it's like being on ice. It's a slippery slide. It looks at the moment as if it's out of their control. Athletic won this comfortably. They were good. They look much better, Athletic, with Santet playing in midfield as one of the two, as opposed to being the number 10 and playing two holding midfielders. I have no idea why Valverde took so long to revert back to the lineup that was serving him so well at the start of the season. It was a massive error. So it's given them a lot of work. They should be, a few places higher and a few points higher. If he hadn't have changed the system that was making them good to watch, they were good in this game. And they thoroughly deserved the win. It could have been by more as well.
Right. What else? Celta Vigo 0, Atletico 1, which is a far more eventful game than the scoreline sounds, doesn't it? I checked the XG. I'm never quite sure about XG, I quote it a lot, but Celta Vigo is like 1.1 or something like this, and yet Oblak made...
And a blinder.
Yeah. So I don't know, unless they were really good finishes. Maybe that's what... I think it's probably more complex than we think. They were really good shots. So it wasn't like a glorious chance, and then he made a really good save.
Yeah, there was one from range, wasn't there, that hit the bar from a set piece. Ranildo.
Yeah.
The save he made from Ranildo, his own player.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess that doesn't go down as an XG, because it was an attempted clearance from Atletico player. But I thought Celta were the better team throughout. And we've seen this quite a bit from Celta, where they're playing well and not getting points. And that was, again, the case in this match. And it was an unlikely win in the end. Savic gets sent off again.
Right, we'll have to talk about it.
We keep joking about it. It's never a decision that sits right with him, isn't it? And you look again, you think,
go off,
another
mate.
Booking.
Yes, yeah.
It's another booking. So I don't know what you're arguing about. And then before that, Simeone was making changes that I didn't quite understand. He looked like he's dragging the life and form out of Griezmann, who was playing brilliantly. And now Simeone's stuck him wide on the left and drags him off after an hour. And you can see the confidence again from another player on the Simeone, looking at him thinking, this is killing me. And I was playing so well and expressing myself and playing in a position where I could influence the game, to suddenly Griezmann playing wide on the wing. And from the wing, it's really hard to influence a game. You have to rely on, you then become a player that relies on service to you. And if you don't get a service, you can't influence the game. I mean, we know Griezmann's ability with crossing and stuff like that. But in the middle, he was influencing the rest of the team. You know, he was getting on the ball. Everyone was giving him the ball. He was then distributing the ball well. He was popping up in different positions. And it was a really unlikely win. Reluctantly, you know, they were down to 10 men when they got the winner. It was a decent finish from Memphis, who's probably desperate for some more playing time. And this might help nudge Simeone into giving him more opportunities. So it was a fortunate win, I thought, for Atletico. They played okay. That wasn't bad. But I thought Celta were unlucky not to get something out of this match.
Yeah, I mean, Savic is an interesting one, isn't it? Because you discuss Valencia and you say, you know, they need... They're short of leaders and players to play with aggression and that sort of thing. But there is just a limit, isn't there? He's done it too many times, Savic, isn't it? Where you've got to keep a lid on it. It's got to be controlled aggression, hasn't it? It can't just be...
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
I mean, yeah. And from an experienced player as well, and you're looking, you think, you should know better. You know, yellow card, don't make that type of challenge. Don't get involved in a confrontation with this player and that player. And yeah, it's inexplicable from a player with such experience. We know he's a hothead, he's a warrior, he's a competitor, he's served Simeone well, but this is getting ridiculous now.
Yeah.
To the extent he's become the liability. Really he's become the liability in the fact he gets sent off. Is it three in the last five?
Yeah.
Three times in the last five games.
Three times in 2023. It's like middle of February. That is
a liability.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Interesting pair at the back, him and Hermoso. Jimenez has been sidelined recently as well. So I think that Simeone's, but he relies on Savic, but you can't rely on a player that gets sent off. That's we're talking career totals for some players, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm sent off four times in like 15 years and I can remember them all. I think he's done three in five games. It's ludicrous. I know the cards are issued easier now than they have been in the past. But
you've got
in that case...
temper your game. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Try not to get the first one. And when you do get the first one, make sure you don't get the second. Don't make any type of challenge. And Simeone and him were talking about VAR checking it. It's a foul. It's going to be a yellow card. I don't know what you're going. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Betis have provided the entertainment in the last couple of weeks, haven't they? So a 3-2 win at Almeria, with some lovely play, but the Canales goal, he's a delightful
great
player,
skill.
Isn't he? And this a bit of classic Canales, wasn't it? Yeah, lovely touch, lovely finish.
Yeah, it was, and much needed win for Betis. I mean, they'd lost the last two. Their season was falling apart. That'd be too dramatic, but they were losing touch with where, you know, there was a position not long ago where top four. We genuinely looking at it and thinking, yeah, top four, the Athletic form wasn't great. Atleti are picking up results again now, they're a decent, consistent run of form. Betis drop points, and you're looking and thinking, Betis are letting it slip, but they've hauled it back. It was imperative that they won in that game because, you know, Atletico getting the win as well, so it set up the weekend. But for Betis to, I thought they were going to lose it again. You know, they got themselves ahead and they just, you know, Almeria kept pegging back and eventually Guardado, an unlikely winning goal from a header from a corner, scored the winning goal. So tough on Almeria were good, but Betis, and they were missing injured players as well. I mean, there's the suspended Luis Felipe, of course. Carvalho was missing, Fekir was missing. So it gave one or two other players opportunities and they just need to try and get Borja Iglesias scoring and amongst the goals again. But no, it was an impressive win in the end from Real Betis, which will give them confidence. Their next game is at home on Saturday to Valladolid, so they'll be looking, to put this recent patchy run of form firmly behind them and then really challenge Atletico for top four.
So Barca have got 56 points. Patreons can see it on the screen. Real Madrid have got a game in hand with 45. Real Sociedad, 42. Atleti, 38. There's a four-point gap there. Then another four-point gap down to Betis. 34, Rayo Vallecano 33, Athletic 32, Villarreal 31, Osasuna 31, and then actually it's say Mallorca as well, 28 points, and then there's a 4-point gap, and everybody is in a relegation battle from there down, Sevilla, Mallorca, sort of a mid-table-ish kind of game, but 24 points isn't enough. It was an important win, therefore for Sevilla, wasn't it? And Naziri. He's banging the goals in left, right, and centre, Terry. And Brian Hill, actually, I don't mind this, stole a goal at the end, didn't he? He was virtually over the line, wasn't it, when he prodded it? But a guy who should have been playing more in the last couple of years, show some hunger. I'm all for that.
And it would have been an own goal anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Navas has crossed it, hasn't it? It's deflected off a couple of players, and just inches before it crossed it, it's going over the line. He was right to tap it in and claim the glory. Ironically, on a day when his team that just allowed him out on loan were getting spanked for one at Leicester. Ironically, when he's just started trying to run a form and get some chances, and actually the Spurs supporters looking at him and thinking, he's not too bad. It's ignore the fact he's small and looks like a beetle, or looks like all of the beetles rolled into one. Because that was the talking point. He's too small, he's too frail. I promise you he's not. He played for Eibar, who were physical, aggressive, hardworking, and he was their standout player by a country mile. So he can cope with, playing physically. And I look at it and it's so ridiculous. Spurs paid 25 million, gave them Eric Lamella, and now they've given them Brian Hill back. It's ridiculous.
Trying a hard bargain. The Ronaldo's negotiators Spurs as well, aren't they?
and it's now looking likely that Sabir want to keep him. What they'll pay for him, I don't know.
We'll never find out, will we?
We'll never find out.
Yeah, no one will admit that big a mistake.
It probably is the right place for him. When Sevilla let him go, despite the fact it was such a good deal, I was surprised that Spurs bought him because I kind of assumed that he's not going to be Conte's type.
Yeah,
where's he going to play? Is he going to play winger? Is he going to play wing back? Don't have wingers, they play wing backs. Where are you going to fit him in? And now he's back at Sevilla where he shouldn't have left in the first place. So it was a good win from Sevilla, they were dominant in this game, much, much better. Their run of form has been good. They've won the last four at home, but they've been against Getafe, Cadiz, Elche, and Mallorca. All games you'd expect Sevilla to win. They've got to start picking up away from home. The last win away was week 9 against Mallorca. So they've only got a couple of away wins this season. Those four games I'm talking about are the first four games they've won this season at home. So they've gone on a little run with a kind run of fixtures. And Nesri's amongst the goals. Come off injured, so that might break up that little run that he's had. It looked a significant injury, to be honest, and I don't think he's going to be fit. I'd be surprised if he's fit again for this week, which means someone else has to step in. Sampaoli made changes. Eyebrows were raised when I saw the team, not in terms of the fact that the players playing weren't particularly good, but so many changes, but it worked in this game, and they were dominant and much clear, better
I was...
team than the Mallorca in this game themselves. Struggling away from home, so Sevilla on the way in the right direction, but I still need to see more evidence. They play Rio this weekend away from home, so that'd be an interesting game for them.
I'll do another podcast where we do sort of predictions and chat about the European games and whatever, and I was trying to persuade them not to get too carried away with Sevilla winning the Europa League. I mean, obviously it's possible because that there is that belief there, but this is not the Sevilla team that has won this trophy so many times, is it? It's a bit of a shambles at the moment. PSV Eindhoven. I don't watch any Dutch football, so I couldn't give you an honest appraisal of how good they are. Yeah. How seriously do they take it? How much credence is there that they could win it?
They've got to take it. They're not qualifying for Europe.
Yeah.
So this is a route for them to do so again. And I still think the quality is there. I think they need some guidance from Sampaoli, some consistency from Sampaoli, and confidence. And this is, you know, I talked about those run of games at home that they've won. That will increase confidence, and life will feel more normal. Mm. It won't seem almost impossible to win a game of football as we see from teams that are struggling, that can't win a game. It seems like it's the hardest thing in the world to do, hence Levante last year and Elche this season. Sevilla were in that type of runner form. Most surprising, it almost looked like a shock to the system of those players, but they have the quality there to go far in the Europa League, and they have that belief in this competition. There's enough players there, and everyone is aware of the history of Sevilla in this competition. I wouldn't rule them out completely of doing well and possibly going all the way again in this competition. It's, you know, particularly if they do get through this round and then they make progress in La Liga and they're in a position of, and they're in a healthy state in La Liga, away from relegation issues and probably not contending for European position, then it might be something that suits them. As, you know, if we go into their standing income March, April, where they're very mid-table and they're, you know, they're well away from relegation, their focus would firmly be on this competition. So, difficult tie against PSV, but no, I wouldn't rule out Sevilla going far in this competition.
Getafe got a draw against Rayo Vallecano. A home draw against Rayo, you might say, is not a good result for a team, but, the, you know, own goal, red card before they fought Enes Unal.
Two missed penalties.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not bad, is it? I don't know. How do you assess that?
Yeah, I think in the circumstances, being behind, yeah, and going to having a player sent off, yeah, I think it was. And they're looking with frustration that Enes Unal, Borja Mayoral missed a penalty. Then Ryan will look with even more frustration that Raúl Thomas comes on as a sub, the big money signing, grabs the ball from the penalty spot in the 87th minute. And I have to say, one of the best penalty saves I've ever seen from a goalkeeper. I mean, this was a badly struck penalty. It was firmly hit in the corner, down low, and David Soria pulled off a magnificent save to deny Raúl Thomas and Raúl the 3 points. So, Getafe, you know, they are where they are in the league. They're 19th. They've only got 19 points. They look at them and you think that they shouldn't be there, but they are. They'll fight. They'll scrap their way. But surprisingly, the quality isn't there for them to win games. Mm. And it should be. So Aaron Barry is back from long-term injury. That might help them. So in the circumstances, I think the Kike Sanchez Flores would have been grateful for a point. Rayo will be kicking themselves they didn't win it and continue his fine run of form and see them, you know, remain in fifth place. But it was a dramatic game, actually, to be honest. It was a decent game of football.
I lose track of what we've done. When have we discussed with the general podcast the notion of Irola going to Leeds? Doesn't seem to be happening, does it? Leeds now seem to have turned their attention to basically someone without a job. Clubs are crazy things, aren't they? In that, so they gave Jesse Marsh, they brought the players that he wanted, so his approved signings. What did he lose? One more game after that, and then they sack him. And then they start casting around and thinking, oh, that guy, you know, a role is good, isn't he? Let's start some negotiations here, there, and everywhere with, you know, the best. That's not a plan, is it? That's
No, not at all. And possibly something like that makes a player, a manager who's in a job, look at it and think, oh, I don't want to be part of that. I'm in control here. I'm having a good season. I'll wait until the summer and do things in a more, you know, a better, appropriate manner rather than rush into something because I've said yes, you know, they might go off me in 2 or 3 weeks. It's weird. I know it's not it shouldn't be the thing to do in terms of a board, ownership, director, chief execs, director of football. They should be 100% behind their manager. But everybody knows there is a time when you should be looking around elsewhere. And I know it's not very pleasant to having to do something like that behind someone's back. But then the alternative is this happens and you're left with no one. And it's like Valencia. They've left with the caretaker manager and we don't know how long that's going to be for. And you're in a position where you're in a relegation battle. So it doesn't look great from Leeds. And Irola, I can understand him. I can understand him on both sides. You know, he's going to quadruple quintuple his salary probably by going to Leeds. But that he also has to look and think, well, someday that will happen anyway, whether it's the Premier League or a bigger, you know, richer club in La Liga. And the time to do that is the summer. There's also a time to take stock, though, when there's a manager cash in. I mean, I'm not saying that and cheaply, but you know, in 6 months' time, Ryan might have gone on a dreadful run of form. They might be finishing mid-table or just below mid-table and they have a dodgy start next season. And then those type of jobs are not there. So it is, you've got to know the right time. And career roller probably now isn't the right time.
Now as in February the 14th or now as in 2023, if you're his agent, are you sort of having a think, maybe have a chat with Betis, have a chat with Sevilla, see who's going to make a change in the summer? Which, as you say, is all a bit sneaky, isn't it? If you're considering that kind of move, yeah. But that's the step he should take, isn't it? To a club that should be in Europe would be a next obvious place to go.
Yes, I think so. And with a decent transfer budget, the clubs you just talked about do tend, in terms La Liga terms, do have that type of strength in the transfer market to at least move around stuff in the transfer market. But Rayo backed him. I mean, I'm guessing he might be a man that feels he has a bit of loyalty to Rayo. He gave him an opportunity and he took them up. He's kept them up. Now ridiculously challenging for Europe. It's does he want to leave a good thing at the moment? At this moment of the season, I clearly doesn't. And he wants to stick around and show that he can finish in the top eight or something of a club that shouldn't be in the top eight. Then his stock will be high. And then it might be, you know, a chance for him and his agent and whoever else is around that is looking for a manager to sit down in you know, with the appropriate time frame and not be rushed into it. And he can make the right decision, not being rushed into it. And so there's no doubt he's a successful young manager that's gonna, you know, have a fine career. But is now the right time to move to a team that are in a relegation fight in a league that you don't know particularly well? He's not going to. You know, it's like Gary Neville coming to Valencia. It's Iraola going to Leeds. He's suddenly going to be, well, he won't know his own players. He won't know the opposition that he's playing against, the strengths and weaknesses. That's not ideal. And then you find yourself relegated despite the fact it's Leeds and it's a massive club and they would be favourites to come up next year. Your reputation takes a hit. And you don't know about the patience of the owners. You know, they might look at it and think, he took us down, sack him. And then he's hoping that Rayo employ him again. So it's a difficult one. It probably is best at the moment to stay put at Rayo Vallecano. I hope so. And I want to see the culmination of this season of Rayo where they can finish.
Yeah,
you want to should have won this game. And
finish the story in a way, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you correspond with us, Terry is not comparing Iraola and Gary Neville's managerial ability.
Just about going into
unfamiliarity.
You know, I watched Gary against Rayo Vallecano with Paco.
Yesterday.
I'm getting two Pacos mixed up. The Paco at Levante. What was his surname? Paco at Levante. And the original Paco at Rayo that was the first to play the Barcelona one. Yeah. Then you look at it and think, what are you doing, you lunatic? I remember doing a game on Sky. It was a goal kick. And next thing you know, it was a goal. They'd conceded. We didn't see it. Mm. We was on a replay of something else, but it was probably a safe bet. Put this replay of this chance on, this near miss, because they've got a goal kick. And there was a goal score. We could hear it. And in the background, the goal had been scored. And when it came out, the goalkeeper passed it straight to a player on the edge of the box. He just tapped it straight back past the goalkeeper. And you're thinking, oh, that...
Who would have thought that football everywhere and in parks...
And now we're all doing it.
Parks in England with kids doing it. I watched the game the other day, the kids' football, 6-0. And obviously, as you know, the story goes that the team lost 6-0. We're playing like a Paco Hemeth, Ryan Vallecano team.
The point I was making, Paco Lopez at the Venti, point I was making about Rayo and Gary Neville not being aware, everybody else knew that you had to press Rayo, Paco Hemeth was manager. So that's what every team was doing, and every team was beating Rayo. And then I saw Rayo, I think it was at the Mestalla, Valencia dropped off and let them have the ball and bring it out the back. And I can't remember the result. But I was thinking that told you everything you needed to know about a manager not being prepared for, you know, whoever was with him should have said, no, everybody else is pressing them and closing them down. And because, A, they're not very good individually at the back, they're not comfortable on the at the back with the ball at their feet. They're not that type of player. Everyone's taking the ball off them and scoring goals, and they're losing every game, and they're going to get relegated. But then suddenly Valencia were the first team to say, no, you have it, we're going to drop off. And then you think, now that's that told you. So, and Iraola, you know, wouldn't want to go to Leeds, and suddenly, that you know, I don't know Leeds fixtures, and we're going, well, what are these about? Relying on someone else to tell him. Somebody doesn't probably know, and somebody won't trust, they've got no reason to trust. Suddenly, everything you know, becomes
it doesn't make
clouded.
Sense, does it? Yeah, it doesn't make sense to drop it in the middle of February, does it? When you think about it, you just think, yeah, but clubs doesn't mean clubs won't do it, does it? You know, decision making, and then the money talks, but it doesn't seem that the money is talking, does it? It seems like he's going to stay, and which is good, isn't it? I think it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, two more games. Cadiz beat Girona by 2-0. Got a 6-minute goal to get them underway. Important one, isn't it? This massive barroom brawl of a relegation battle continues.
There are players, I have to be honest, and I thought I was on top of it, and I missed it. There were players suddenly, I'm watching the game, and I put the game on the weekend, I'm thinking, Roger Marti? Sergi Guardiola. last week they were playing for Valladolid and Elche. When did that happen? And suddenly you go, they've done something, Cadiz. Valencia didn't do a thing. So suddenly you're looking at Valladolid, brought Darwin Machis and Carl Larin in. They've done something. Valencia didn't. There's some surely something Valencia could have done, and they didn't do a thing. And suddenly I'm looking at and Gonzalo Escalante. So you've got three players at Cadiz. And this is a team they didn't get a point and didn't get a goal for five games, the first five games of the season. And they looked awful. They looked like a team that hadn't even done a pre-season. They didn't look fit. They didn't look sharp. They looked old. They looked a mess. So for them to get 22 points in the last 16 games, it's extraordinary. And suddenly you look at them thinking, they're a team I didn't think had any hope. And now I really fancy their chances. The players they brought in have been good. I mean, Ocampo and Bongonda on either flank look really good. And then you've got the likes of Guardiola coming in now. Roger Marti can score goals. You know, Anthony Lozano is a good player. And the Negredo's been injured. So you're looking at Cadiz and you're thinking, oh, no, I think they're going to be right. I think they're going to stay up.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was comfortable win.
And finally, Valladolid 0. Osasuna 0. As I say, better than... in the Super Bowl.
there wasn't a lot in this one, I have to be honest. And a scrappy game. Osasuna weren't at their best. But, you know, that was it. I don't want to dwell on that for any longer. The only thing I would say, though, Pacheta, you've got this Carl Larin, who's got played 45 minutes in total. He's still on the bench.
Yeah. What's the guy got to do?
Playing a guy. He's got his 6 points in two games. He's touched the ball about five times. He's proved he's going to be a threat. And you're still keeping him then sub, you know, play Sergio Leon, who's not being disrespectful. Sergio Leon is Sergio Leon, who'll get 6 or 7 goals a year. They'll come into him spurts. And you suddenly got this player that's coming off the bench every week and scoring a goal. Play him. And he didn't come on again too late and didn't have an impact in this match.
Yes. Thank you very much, Terry. Patreons, we're not going to do anything Friday, I'm afraid, this week for the various travel reasons for both of us, and so we'll be back with another podcast. So enjoy the European football, which comes in Thursday this week, and then Real Madrid. It's the ludicrous round of the Champions League, isn't it, that goes on for more than a month for one round of football, which is insane. So we'll catch up with the European football, and we're back with another La Liga podcast next week. So enjoy your football, everybody, this week, and thank you for your support to the Patreons, and we'll see you all soon.